this mysterious phenomenon, they say, that may be related to sleep disorder. What's your take on this study?
Well, George, I've been very involved with this actually for 2 years. The principal investigator of this study, Dr. Kevin Nelson, approached me several years ago and asked me to help recruit near-death experiencers for this survey that you just discussed. So I've actually worked with him, been aware of the study, been aware of the findings of this study for some time. I think it's an absolutely fascinating study. Dr. Nelson is certainly a nationally recognized neurologist. The article was published in one of the leading medical journals in the United States. And I think it's going to stimulate a great deal of discussion about near-death experience and ask the question, do we now know what causes it? I'll be glad to talk about that tonight.
Is it disappointing to so many people who believe in the hereafter that they truly believe and recognize that if one dies, one passes on? Does this kind of kill that?
No. I think the simple answer is no, and I'll be glad to develop that a little bit.
Sure.
I think the common ground that I have, and first of all, I'll tell you right off the bat, I have gone extensively over the results of the Dr. Nelson study. I've actually had a dialogue with him in some email exchanges. And I am adamant in my conclusion that this does not debunk near-death experience. I think it leads to the need for some further research, but I continue to believe every much as I did before that near-death experience is for real. I think that it's the most plausible presentation of what the afterlife might be, and I don't really think this puts a big dent in what a lot of people think about near-death experience. And I'd be glad to talk a little bit about why I feel that way.
All right, go ahead, please.
Sure. Well, first of all, the common ground I have with Dr. Nelson in this article is can be summarized in the conclusion that Dr. Nelson wrote. Certainly, as Dr. Nelson points out in the actual literature, the text of this article, this is what's called a retrospective study. In other words, he surveyed near-death experiencers usually years after their experience, as well as a control study. And it really wasn't what we call a prospective study, which means very shortly after the near-death experience you interview these individuals. Medically speaking, a retrospective study can only be considered hypothesis-generating. In other words, it raises possibilities that need to be tested with further appropriate prospective studies, and we're all aware of that. Certainly, overall, it is an excellent and ethical study, but this will remain a hypothesis, that being the correlation between the so-called REM intrusion discussed in this article and its possible relationship with near-death experience until we have an appropriately conducted prospective study.
Well, you know, when I was reading parts of the study based on what was released over the last day or so, Doctor, you know, I did think of the possibility, okay, what happens if we really don't pass on when we die? It's merely all over right here. And that the brain kicks in as we approach unconsciousness. The brain kicks in as we get close to dying. And in this case, these people obviously didn't die. But that it plays tricks with us. It kicks us into these other states of mind. And it was kind of a frightening feeling, I got to tell you.
George, that's frightening. Now, I've got some great news for you and your listeners. I don't think that's what happens at all here. Now, let me explain why.
Okay.
Certainly, as all of us read that study, it's rather startling, the survey that they did and how different the responses of the near-death experience group was from the control group. Clearly, in this study, the near-death experience group, as you discussed, seemed to respond much more affirmatively to questions that suggested they had this so-called REM intrusion phenomena. They had this phenomena called sleep paralysis more often, much more often, and they seemed to have these hallucinations either that they could see or hear either immediately upon awakening from sleep or immediately prior to going to sleep. But George, it's not quite that simple, and I think there's an issue in this study that certainly raises my concerns about whether or not the conclusions are as solid as they seem to be statistically. If you read the text of the article very carefully, for example, note that the control group that was obtained in this study was found, as it's described, from medical, from the medical college where Dr. Nelson was at or their medical college personnel contacts. I can tell you, speaking as someone who works in a hospital, I would be startled if you would contact people that work in a hospital, ask them questions about hallucinations that they may have seen or heard upon awakening or falling asleep, or whether they're paralyzed when they try to get up. That implies a psychological pathologic condition. It implies that there's something wrong with you. I think a lot of these people in the control group would have been very, very hesitant to respond affirmatively to those questions for fear that they might be labeled potentially even mentally ill in some way. And, George, it's not just a theoretical concern. If these types of phenomena that are discussed in this article, REM intrusion, they're really not rare phenomena. For example, the issue of sleep paralysis, which occurs about 10% of the normal population. That's where you try to wake and you feel like you can't move. You feel paralyzed. Not rare. It occurs about 10%. And in the general population, they found a 13% had this in the control group in the Nelson study. But when it comes to the hearing or seeing things that other people can't see or hear, mm-hmm. when you shortly before you awake or go to sleep, there's been multiple other medical studies that have documented that about 20 to 25% of the normal population have these phenomena. But the study, the Nelson study in the control group, only found it was 7%. Now, to me, that certainly suggests the possibility that this control group, probably a lot higher percentage of them than 7% had experienced this, but they just weren't willing to share that as part of a medical study.
What if there is indeed a hereafter that the REM movement, the intrusion, is the key to getting across to the other side? You know, maybe it allows us to see the other dimension. And in the research, sure, it may be very possible that 60% compared to 24% had significantly higher rates of REM, the rapid eye movement. But maybe that's a real vehicle to move over.
You know, George, that's a great point. It certainly is possible that either REM intrusion or some other neurological or psychological event is what you could consider, say, an initiator experience. In other words, something which is necessary to start people down the path toward a near-death experience. But perhaps that initiator event, such as REM intrusion or some other physiological or psychological event, doesn't account for all of the near-death experience. And REM intrusion really doesn't. George, if REM intrusion, you know, that which would involve an active brain process, really caused the full near-death experience, you would not expect near-death experience to occur under general anesthesia, would you?
No,
the brain
not
would
at
be
all.
Shut off. There should be absolutely
exactly.
No chance. It should be totally shut down. And yet, going over our experiences, it's not at all unusual to find people that have had a cardiopulmonary, well, cardiac arrest. They're actually being artificially ventilated, but their heart stops during general anesthesia, and these people can have near-death experiences exactly like near-death experiences occurring with any other cause of the NDE.
It appears that Dr. Nelson also, as he mentioned, is not a debunker. He's not out there to tell people there is no afterlife. He's not out there to belittle them. He merely is trying to get some answers, it sounds like, even for himself.
Oh, absolutely. I think Kevin Nelson, first of all, understand I have an enormous amount of respect for his integrity and the integrity of this study. I mean, gosh, we need more researchers like Kevin Nelson. And that's absolutely correct. He's very clear when he talks to the media that this really is, his research is, as he puts it, spiritually neutral. He would like to find out if there's some correlates, you know, not necessarily even causal associations with near-death experience, but maybe these REM intrusion phenomena is at least correlated with near-death experience. He's a seeker, he's a searcher, not unlike myself, but he's looking at it from the neurology point of view. Certainly what he's discovered, I think, is very intriguing, and I certainly hope it encourages a lot of discussion and a lot more research. But, George, what he discovered doesn't come anywhere close to explaining the full spectrum of the near-death experience phenomena.